when I raised my hands, I felt His power trickling around me and stuff. I thought, you want to come, don't you? You really want to come. There's nothing He could want greater. Nothing. With only two people on the planet, He paid a horrible price. Horrible. Adam and Eve. But I suppose they were more important than you are. But wait a minute. Didn't I read somewhere that He's no respecter? If He's no respecter, and got to get this straight about lying, He can't lie. What if He wanted to? He can't. He can't. Yeah, and He's truth.
But I...
No. No, He's truth. Well, He could be. No, He's not. He's truth. One of my favorite is immutability. Can't change, nor can He be changed, meaning He can't. And there's nothing powerful enough anywhere that can change Him. You know, if He could change His mind and tell you one thing one day and do something the next that's different, and you wouldn't be safe. About a billion years from now, I might just decide, I'm tired. just kill all of you and then go on. But He can't lie. He can't lie. This is why He went through the extreme measures He did with Adam and Eve. Here they are right in front of Him, and they fell. He'd like to meet their need, but He couldn't. It's almost like Him standing there saying, "What is the matter with you, Adam? I told you, you'd die if you ate that. Don't you understand? I can't lie. Why'd you do it? Well, can't you just forgive me or something and walk away? No. No, I told you, you would die. So what did He do? Before He passed out judgment to Adam and Eve, childbearing, sweat of your brow. Before He did that, He judged Satan. And to judge him, He had to look ahead 4,000 years. He says, look, I got something to tell you, devil. Born of woman. That'd be Mary. Born of woman will be a seed. That'd be Jesus. Gonna bruise your head. Which He destroyed him that had the power of death. Even the devil. And the only reason he could reign over humanity, because we had a nature like his. Well, Jesus looked ahead 4,000 years and prophesied Jesus. Then He got a credit card out. American Express. No, it's not discovered yet. Visa charge card. I don't know what that means. Oh, wait, here's one. Master charge card. All right, devil, you see this? I'm charging this to the cross. It's going to be paid in full that day. So don't you worry about it. So then he turns around and kills the first animals. And when that drop of blood shed, it was a type of Jesus' blood. Then he clothed Adam and Eve with their skins. And that was the first need he met, but not until after the man died, which was Jesus in our place. And we died, resurrected in what he said. Because he can't lie. 10 million years from now, he's not going to get mad at you and obliviate you. And everything else he told you is truth too. See, he can't lie. He can't lie. He has 9 attributes to make the one essence of who he is. 9. And the 3 persons make up the one true and living God.
Well, how can it be that?
Because it is. Tell me something. When you looked at your kids, both of you, had her eyes, his nose, thank goodness her ears. Do you think it's just the body? Just the body you're looking at that put 2 people together in one? Spirit came into existence the same way. It was programmed in the DNA and grew in the same rate the body did. How can 2 people be deposited in one?
Well, 3 people make up the one person of Godhead.
Yes. Well, how? Doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. It worked. That the 9 attributes that make up the one absolute sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, love, and omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresent, omniscience, all knowing without time, omnipotent, omni, all powerful and potent. Nothing above. Omnipresent. Those 9 attributes make up the one essence, but what makes it so good? He's sovereignly immutable. Can't change nor be changed. He's sovereignly love. He is. He loves sovereignly. He is. He can't change nor be changed. I like that. So he went through all of that trouble and prophesied 4,000 years into the future. All that trouble. Because he don't love you. Because he don't love you. You know what? I finally threw my list away. You should move for me for this reason. And you should move for me this. And I'm real nice. And I figured this prayer out. I know how to pray this prayer now. And so if I present this right, you know, and I'm persistent or something, I think I could get you to do it. Don't you understand? He already demonstrated the love he loves you with. When you approach him, you only need to know one thing. It's that he loves you. And he's the one that paid the price to be able to move for you. You don't have to talk him into it. All you have to do is go into his presence. Say, I know you love me. That's why you're going to do it. You already paid all of this for me because you loved me way back then. You love me now. And you're no respecter of persons. I want to thank you. Absolutely. It's what you have done for me. And we try to talk him into answering prayer. And he died so he could. So who's going to win? Who's going to win? The angels, to a certain degree, had free will, moral agency, or Satan couldn't have fallen. He'd have been a programmed robot. Go through your motions, robot. hardest thing, I think, for me to understand about the love of God was He'll be an all-potent, absolute all-powerful, sufficient in Himself, sovereignty. What could He need? What could He possibly want? Sometimes I feel so frail, but I'm not. What could He possibly want from you? You telling me that He needs something? I still remember that letter I wrote 6 years ago. The most costly thing that heaven has ever sustained is your right to make choices. It's not fellowship unless it was my choice to lift my hands and tell Him how much I love Him. You think He wants to push a little button on a robot?
I love Him, I love you.
Oh, shut up. I programmed that into you. That's no fellowship. That's not fellowship. Means everything in the world when I choose. I choose. I choose. And He knows it. To lift my hands. And tell Him how much I love Him. I choose. And it means everything to you. I had another message for you this morning, but He dipped me in love and pulled me back out. So, what can I do? See. So, what is this about? This love that's so important to Him. If He covets your fellowship that much, He loves you that much, should we thank the way that we approach Him with prayer? Like, I wonder if I'm going to get Him to do it this time. Let's see if I pray this way. And say, well, don't make a mistake. Wait a minute now. So I'll take care.
Don't you tell me to take care. I don't take care. I don't worry about
that. Meant to take care, not to do things that would cause you to fail. But here we're trying to figure out the best way to approach Him, you know. Well, He's truth. He can't lie. You approach Him with His word. Yes, I know that. I know that. But where am I getting my strength? There's a revelation. It's trickling in to magnify and help me understand what's working in me. It's just trickling in and building up. Why do I know that He'll answer my prayer? Because I know what He went through to get me back. And I'm not going to dishonor Him by approaching Him like He's not going to do it. Hallelujah. Had some kind of experience in Brazil. When I can explain it full, I will. But I haven't been able to this point. All I know, it affected me and the atmosphere that I moved in. And the only thing I could connect it to was that last key that I've been wearing you out with for the last year. when praying in tongues couldn't give me what fasting did, then praying in tongues placed the key of knowledge in my hand to unlock fasting. And I unlocked fasting, then it gave me what tongues couldn't. But then again, tongues gave me what fasting couldn't. Well, it's time for the meditation key. Unlocked all those things about assimilation, meditation, how to harness the altar of your soul and mind's processes. Harness them and offer them up on the altar of God's Word. When it's time to unlock that key on meditation, Word took on a whole new meaning. It gave me what praying in tongues couldn't. But then again, praying in tongues gave me what meditation couldn't. And we kept going up to one key after another. What towards?
Revival.
Finally got to the love key. I was looking for the key. Where is it? Let me see. Have you seen those big old banks that are so rich? They got a great big iron door taller than you are with a turn handle on it. And you walk in. I mean, you can walk in. It's full of money and it holds you too. That's a big safe. That's how big this one was. I was looking for a key and instead they had this iron bar. And so when he gave me that, it would only open that far. All of a sudden it cracked, that in that crack just loads of light come out. I was able to identify it finally with the love of God. But the door wasn't all the way open and you couldn't get it open, and it wasn't open enough to get in either. That light was just brightly shining. Boy, was it shining. As I continued on to pray, I understood why I couldn't get in there. And every day I get closer, and one day I'm going to get to swing that thing open. I'm going to get to go in there where perfect love annihilates, casts out, destroys all fear. And the love never fails. Never. Why? If you've got no fear, it's because you're not afraid of failure. If love never fails, what in God's green earth are you afraid of? What is answered prayer made out of? Would you say faith? What is faith? Faith is your confidence and belief in God that creates a substance of something that wasn't there before you ask for it.
Well, I'm going to ask for something wrong.
Not after you've been bathed in love, you're not. Well, there's some funny things happened there. I tell you what, one thing love does, casts out fear. I said, there's somebody here, you're suicidal, totally depressed, you need to be delivered. This guy comes up, what was he, a good 6 inches taller than me? I had to look up at him like this. So he come up too for his stomach. So, I had a funny feeling about him, but So what? I put my hand on his stomach to pray, and Alan was sitting about, were you as far as you are now? Yeah, you're that far away. I put my hand on him and prayed, and I know he was trying to hit me as hard as he could. But he hit me 3 times that time. So I put my hand on him to pray, and the devil manifested, and he hit me. He come in under my arm, and he hit me hard as he could, but it went. He tried it again. He goes. Then Alan come running over in case he got one in, you know. But he went ahead and hit me a couple more times. I think four, five altogether. Somewhere around there. So every time I'd reach up and pray for him, he'd go. So Alan was standing between me and him, and I finally just walked around. And I said, oh, brother. Here, I'm trying to pray for him decently. He keeps hitting me. I wouldn't say that's nice. So I went. I said, oh, devil, in the name of Jesus, come out of him. He went, pow, a big quivering mass on the floor, jumping him out. That was interesting. I mean, he was trying to hurt me, and he couldn't. I thought that was nice. Sorry, seven sons of Sceva. In the name of this Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And they leapt up on him, tore their clothes off, beat him up, and they ran off running down the street. Well, another thing happened. I could tell you the mass miracles and stuff. Over the third of the crowd stood up that had been healed of something. But the one that probably interests you, at least 20, got to put their glasses down and could read fine print without any help whatsoever. At least 20 in one mass prayer. In times past, I'd pray for people and their teeth would be filled with gold and things. And then when all that sensational move come, I wasn't sure whether that was a little act of sensationalism or whether that was something that God was doing. So I stopped. This time I started back again and finally got a report that somebody's teeth was healed. But I knew that I had to be absolutely confident again for the teeth kind of miracles. So I laid it totally in God's hands, you know. And then I won't allow gold if it's not him. And he honored that. And so now that's starting to build back again. Because I'm not going to run off chasing some nugget or something, you know. Now this lady that Alan talked a little bit about, I don't know how much of the story he had. I didn't have as much as he had, I think. But all I know is a Pentecostal lady that spoke English too was her pastor. And I started finding out about her when she was yelling over in the corner what had happened to her. And anyway, when I went over to pray for her, I got down on my knees to look at her leg, and the muscles were dried up against a bone that had been messed up. They were dried off in a big old circle like this. She's crossing the road, and what I understood, a motorcycle clipped her and tore that all off. I don't know what else is wrong. It was really moving, and she was crossing the road, and it just tore all that off her leg. And the doctor, he said, you can never use this leg, and we'll have to amputate it. She said, no. She wouldn't. That was 3 or 4 months before that. 1 year. So what happened then is it all grew and dried out. The muscles were dried out up against what bone was in there. And there was no use in it. You couldn't bend it. You couldn't do anything. And so they said, well, go pray for her. And let me see, it was already bent because it carried her in like that. So that was the angle it was in. So I got down on my knees in front of her. I did not know it would hurt her. I pulled the leg up a little like that. Later she said, she had to fight with everything in her just to keep from screaming from the pain. Anyway, so we did, you know, Father, God, it helps to know He loves you as much as these two people. You had to prophesy 4,000 years. Jesus, go through all that trouble for those two people. If he is, says he's no respecter of persons, he can't. He doesn't have a capacity to love me more than you, or you more than me. That we think because of a, he mentions sometimes the love that people have for him. But the love he has for us, that's another story. I mean, his son. You wouldn't want to know all the details even after the cross. Prophecies in the old that people don't even want to believe belong to him. Like, thou shalt not leave my soul. Hell. What do you think? Every punishment you had coming, that when he died in your place, he didn't have to, what, he just stepped out of his body and suffered the cross and the nails and things, the death, and then he didn't die spiritually, he didn't do any of that stuff. He just, I'm dead, okay. I'll go to the bottom of the earth and get a few people and come back and cry of his lips was, I know you'll not leave my soul in hell. We don't like to believe that. Do you know we don't like to believe he suffered like that for you. It makes it kind of accountable. If there would have just been Adam, no more. Eve, one woman to get Jesus into the planet. No more. He'd have still went. Well, we can understand that. That was only two people. Oh, so you're for sacrifice? When it dawned on me that he loves me that much, I quit trying to get him to answer prayer and started receiving it. You don't need to convince him. He's been trying to convince you. If Adam and Eve had been the only, he'd have paid the same price. So that means he paid it for them. He paid the same price for you. You're no different. Now this is one thing he told me. You know, the hospitals with the kids. When But the curse overtook them before they were even born. Not a thing was their fault. One preacher tried to tell me babies aborted go to hell and newborns go to hell. Felt like beating him up, but I knew that wasn't Christian. But I did need to find some proof. And I did. Remember? Gary's one that usually doesn't fit the doctrine, you know. Why do you think a child commanded by God in the first circumcision began? What do you think he said to circumcise a male child on the eighth day? Why eight? Why did he pick the eighth day? Child's born, count 8 days. Okay, circumcise him. The reason is, if you circumcised on the eighth day, you're going to take in one Sabbath. It doesn't matter when you're born. You're going to take in a Sabbath every seventh day. So if you're born on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday or on the Sabbath, you're going to take in one whole Sabbath a day. And as Paul taught it in Romans, the circumcision was the cutting away of the old man and type of the birth of the new. And the actual Sabbath today is a type of the rest that we enter into when we were born again and ceased from our own labor. The man was picking up sticks right after the law was issued to Moses on the Sabbath, picking up firewood, and they caught him doing it. Captured him. Didn't know what to do with him. Brought him to Moses. He didn't quite know what to do, so he brought him to God. This man is picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and we knew what you said about it. Honor the Sabbath. So you know what God told Moses? Kill him. They stoned him to death. You know why? That man picking up those sticks represented works. Jesus is very clear that it's not by your works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. It cannot be earned, and he constituted or made a statement that I'm earning my salvation, and it's absolutely impossible. So this baby lived through the Sabbath, and then the old man was cut away through circumcision. Well, was it the little bitty teeny baby's decision? No. Was it the parents' decision? No. Was it God's decision? Yes. He's the one that ordered it. That means babies aren't lost because it is not their decision. God so little, these super-powered NOVA telescopes, we think, we can see that. Nope, there's more. I mean, there's so many that you say, oh, that's a Milky Way. Why? There's so many stars and planets out there that it looks like a velvet. He's big. God is big. You're little. makes me feel good about when I gain weight to just look at the universe. He's big, you're little. Here's the miracle of it. He wanted more than fellowship. God's love must be strong. He wanted a family. Hello, brother. Sister. He wanted a family. He could call his sons and daughters. Christianity is not a religion. Family. He wanted a family. When Jesus said, "My glory I give unto you, that you may know that the Father loves you with the same love. He loves me." Is Jesus talking? How could that be? Oh, but somewhere in the mix-up of multiple masses of people, he lost track of you. I don't think so. No, he didn't. No. Well, if he gave me his glory, that I may know. And I'm getting there. He loves me with the same love he loved Jesus. So, some of you know, I went through this little parable. This rest part was just to make us a point, but I'll have to make it again. If he gave me his glory, what did he give me? I know that God loves me the same way he loves him. What did you give me? What does it feel like? What is your glory? Well, it's a glow in the service that comes when you really get under the anointing. Well, let's put it this way. Here we go. What if Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is a comrade, we lift. Me and him lift. You know. What if Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me his glory? What would I get? Oh, I dropped my comb by accident. I better pick it up. Oh, my hair got messed up. I'd get his muscles, his contracts, his movies, his money. Anyway. What if Einstein gave me his glory? C equals MA square. The multiplex of sinusitis centrically advanced by balancing it through acetic acid, which is not battery but fruit. Citrical. Oh, you don't understand. I inherited his genius. I have his glory. Yeah. What if I was a computer nerd? What would I get if I got his glory? What would I get if I got a computer nerd's glory? I remember when knowledge wasn't enough. Just know about God. There's a day comes when you have to know Him. That's where the knowledge is supposed to bring you, to know Him. Like the computer nerd, you know. Knowledge. Things just singing so fast, you don't even know what that purr is. There's a cat in there purring. No, that's how fast he is on the keys. Big old gray, big water, Coke bottle glasses. His pupil is as big as his eyes. And fat pencil pack with variety. Bedhead. He forgot about his looks that morning when he got up. One pants leg is stuffed in a sock. And uh-oh, socks are different color. He's in there. I mean, he's making his boss millions. That thing is just raining. He doesn't care about women or nothing. Boss sent the best looking secretary down the hall. He couldn't carry a cup of coffee because it'd wobble back and forth. Anyway, she walks by his booth. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. Oh, but the day computer girl came aboard. Oh, gosh. Oh. Little print dress on. Little white sweater buttoned up wrong. Coke bottle glasses. Pencil pack. Special ordered woman shirt with a pocket. Big pencil pack, bedhead, print dress. Too bad it wasn't long enough to cover one white sock with a red rim on the top and one white sock without one. She's going down the hall.
Knowledge, knowledge. Knowledge,
knowledge, knowledge,
knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge.
Knowledge. And he glances up. She goes, my knowledge. 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 And then it happened. By the look that's in your eye. This magic moment when your eyes met mine, sweeter than wine. She starts this way.
Knowledge.
And he says, pencil packs flying all over the place. Classes flying. From that time on, knowledge wasn't enough. He found what he needed in the presence of his sweetie pie. When he put the key private worship on. Pretty soon, knowledge was not enough. Winding down. If a person wanted to find out what to do in the middle of hell's fire testing brimstone, you need to read the guy that went through all of it and came to the conclusion of what to do. When I found it, researched it and found it in lots of different places, then I knew the best thing to do when hell says I'm not going any further. I found out. Knowledge wasn't enough. It was Paul. I preached on this stuff before. but in different pieces. I didn't put it together like this. I put it together when it came together. But Paul, through his lifetime, asked God to get that special assignment off of him straight from the throne room of hell. Messenger from Satan. That would be an angelic class. Big, big devil with one assignment. Stop, Paul. How would you like to write a good fourth of the revelation knowledge in the New Testament, and still people just picking a letter he inked out while he sat down at a desk and are being born again for the last 4,000 years. You want his reward? What kind of man was he? Tutored by Jesus after the point. Fellowshiped with the apostles, learned what he could. Got the sap knocked out of him on the road to Damascus.
God's a respecter of persons. He went after Paul, but not my relatives.
No. No, there was a man, Stephen. Who Paul was standing there consenting. But the young man held the coats of the ones throwing the rocks. Paul consenting. You know what Stephen cried out when a hail of rocks the size of your fist? Basically, forgive them. Don't charge this against them. And God says, that's all I need to go after Paul. I'm going to knock the sap out of it. And did he? Did he? And Paul was above 60 years old. But he was ready to go home. I mean, people tried to send him home multiple times. But finally, when it came to the time, he says, I'm ready to be offering. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And I'm ready to go home. How'd he make it? He learned something. Learn it. Through his lifetime, three times. Could you please get this thing that keeps tracking me down? I've had three ships sink out from under me, treaded water a day and a night, 39 lashes five different times on my back, and beaten with rods three times, locked my feet up in stocks where the bare bottom stuck out, broke every bone in them. He said not to count the perils of robbers and false brethren and hungers and thirsts with fastings on top of that. Three times. Every time God, my grace is sufficient. Second time, my grace is sufficient. Third time, my grace is sufficient. Caught on finally, fourth time. He said, I will rather therefore now take pleasure. I take pleasure during persecutions and afflictions. Not for getting beat up, thrown in prison, chained in the sewer systems of Rome, with his arms up like this. Because he's a Roman citizen, he got to be unshackled to write a letter. And he encouraged the people he wrote the letter to not to grow faint. He should know. He didn't take pleasure for the beatings and the treading the water. Stoned to death, left for dead, thrown in prison. He didn't take pleasure for being hurt. That's a little off in your head if you like pain. But he come to the place where he could take pleasure in the presence of God. So when he lifted his hands and began to worship God against all odds, beatings, he found something out. When I'm the weakest, unable to do anything about it myself, I'm the strongest, because it transferred my dependency off of the flesh onto the Spirit. And he died when he was ready, not when they were ready. So what is it about the Word? What do you do to the Word? What happens? What happens when the devil thinks he successfully trampled on your brains? In the middle of what he thinks is a great victory, you say, I can lift my arms in all confidence and worship a God who can't lie, who is truth. And you want to know something, devil? I'm getting out of this. And meanwhile, I'm going to plant seeds in those guys that's tortured me, because I don't have to hate them. That's my choice. The highest you can hold the Word during diversity is when the devil can't make you put your hands down. They tie them down. They can't make you put your heart down. And you magnify and worship and glorify him like it's already done. Like it's already done. You're going to come out of it. Devil has to get you to cooperate with his plans if you're going to fail. Don't do it. Always tell him, hey, if you're so smart, how come you're going to hell and I'm not? Come on.
Well, then it's this habit I got I can't get rid of.
Well, why don't you just dishonor it and put it in the corner? Start worshiping God for being free. It'll lose.
Well, I went to my 80 ministry.
What? Just when it handed it to you for your revel in glory? I'm only kidding. I wished it worked like that. So we're having a revival.
Where at?
Tulsa. Well, what street? All of it. Don't think that hell isn't on guard. Why do you think people that leave here get mad and then go into vengeance and then publish stuff against us? And why? Because we taught on prayer? You think the devil doesn't go into overtime over somebody who gets to leave so they'll run us down, discredit? He's afraid of something that's happening here. I know that you're going to come through this with me and the rest of us they're not going to stop. But if you don't, I will be up in the morning and I will declare war and I will win. You think because everybody quit you, that gives you a reason to quit? He did all that for you when the first man was standing there and the first woman. Don't you let that go. $120 125 filled with the Holy Ghost. Out of 900 people, Alan, over a third was healed physically. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the two things I remember of all the miracles and things is the woman with a leg chopped off almost, and the guy that tried to beat me up. Was he hitting me hard?
He was trying. He said he wanted to really hurt you.
Well, I mean, when a little, you know, six-year-old kid thumps me like that. Didn't he was hard as he could. He'd go and he'd go. He'd wind up again. He'd go. About the third time, Alan goes, "What in the world?" He comes over and he steps in the middle of it. It was time to bind the devil, wasn't it? And he played with this long enough. When he got up, he was delivered. Well, at least that devil didn't come up behind me like he did in Russia. I tried to preach decently after the Iron Curtain came down. Lots of people was there, and I was trying to do a good job. This guy snuck around behind, somehow come up behind me. All of a sudden, this voice boomed and blasted the back of my head. "I'm going to kill you." And I'm going, "Oh, no. Not again." Does this guy know English? No, he didn't know a word of English. The devil did. "I'm going to kill you." I go, "Oh, God. I'm getting tired of this." I turned around, put my eyes about this close to him. I said, "You come out of him, devil, in Jesus' name." And I turned my back on him. I could feel him go. Finally it stopped. Thank goodness. I had to glance. You know. He had backed up against the platform, which is about from here to there. Then all of a sudden the crowd goes, "Oh!" That means look. He was just running for me. I didn't see the hand, but that's what it looked like. It looked like he was running and the hand went. But I didn't see the hand. But it just looked like it. Or he was diving for first base. He slid just about up to me. I turned around and looked down at him. He flopped around a little bit and then gets up and raises his hands and was filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, no English. Couldn't speak English anymore either. Oh, we were stopping, I think. I just wanted to stay with that. I have it all marked. I had a parable for you. But I think we made our point. He loves you as much today as he did when he had to go forward 4,000 years to prophesy the cross. So he could take a card and charge it to it to say, "Everything I do will be paid in full when this man raises from the dead." Now tell me, if you was Eve, you know, or Abel, would you think he would move for you? Or do you think an Adam and Eve did? You know, sit there and talk. You never know what God will do. What if there's just one? Think he'd move for them? I mean, whose prayer is he going to answer? What's going to happen? He did move for him. He paid the ultimate price for our total restoration back into the family of God. Glorified, new heaven, new earth. If you think he sees you any different than he did Adam when he did all of those things for him, think again. Well, how could there be capable of evil? I asked Cain. It was present too. But you've been born again. I can tell you how they feel in heaven when they grow up there. Learned that from the little girl that took me by the hand. When God gave me the exaggerated dream, it's getting my reward. I was walking down a highway called the King's Highway. Isn't that good? Here's the exaggeration. They had to have angels for crowd control. I said, oh God, you know that's not. But it was going, it was my day. Reward. The angels, that little girl about 7, 8, 9, I don't know. Crowd control slipped up and let her through. She ran up the steps where I was going up to throne. Lamb was there. God was there. And it's true, you can't see him. This outline. You just know he's there. Then I was trying to pay attention because something was about to happen. And a little girl slipped her hand in mine and said, Mister, I'm a child of abortion, wars, famine. I grew up here. Remember? The lamb... You have no idea how much he loves us. He bestows goodness on realms that are imaginable, how much he loves us. And for this reason, I'd have gladly traded places with you and go back and bear the hell, the resistance. You don't understand. I would get to do something for him. Now this is real. Don't throw it away. Get beat up by the devil a couple of times and give up. Don't throw it away. This girl was very aware of that. She says, I would gladly. You don't think she talked to enough people there? Anybody in here? I can't speak with tongues. That's because you're not up here on the green line. You're on the green line. Can't speak with tongues. Come up here. You get a good dose. Just not. Somebody talked you into a little feeling. I mean, when he fell on me, I couldn't get up for 5 hours. Changed my life so much. Told my pastor, I'm moving to Oregon. He said, you'll fail. Don't go. He knew the old me. I couldn't convince him what happened to me that night. You'll fail. I left anyway when I was 23. Came back when I was 32. Came through where my old pastor was, where I got saved. Oh, Brother Roberson from Oregon, come up and testify. He knew I never did, never would. Scheduled me for youth services to teach. I wouldn't show up. Got D's in English. Couldn't give oral reports. And he said, come up. I did. Bowed up. 20 seconds, the power fell. On the way back from Old Mexico from a revival there, I stopped off. Turned into 6 weeks. Hundreds were healed. He said, "You'll fail. Don't go." You should have heard him. He said, after that, he said, "Don't listen to me." On the way through Watsonville, where I grew up, there's Assembly of God Church there. I was 17, 18. We joined the Navy Day. I turned 18. Run around with the PK, preachers, kids, and another one, elders. I run around with them, but their parents went to church, so they had to. So they brought me to church. So I'm driving by then after the Navy, answering the call, going full time. Wasn't 12 years later. Knocked on the door. I even get me a van. I had a Volkswagen van. I pulled up to his house, knocked on the door. "You remember me?" And he said, "Sorry, no." And he says, do I know you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Who are you?" And I says, "Well, I used to go to this church for a little bit." He looks around and he sees the van. He goes, "Is that your van?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, what's your name?" And I said, "Dave Roberson. I went to your church when I was a teenager." And he said that, "Dave," he said, "you're not him." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "No, you can't be. That's your van?" I said, "Yes, sir. I'm in a ministry and I'm on my way to a meeting." He said, "Could you speak here?" And I said, "Yes, sir." From the beginning, knowing what I knew about prayer, you have to understand the first. I walked off my job at 30 years old by the result of a vision. Very real. The big issue about tongues was whether you could speak in it or not at your own will. That's holiness. I had nowhere to preach, nowhere to go, and no income. For the next 4 or 6 months, you have to understand, I thought if I went down and prayed the time I worked, he'd pay me. Run out of English. Switched to tongues as a survival tactic. I didn't know what it would do in me. Well, when I went back Brother Wortley's way, turned into like a 3 or 4 week meeting. The other Brother Phillips, who said, "You'll never make it," had a 6 week meeting there. "He can change me." "He can change you." "He worked his plan in me. I wasn't favorable. I wouldn't have chosen me for process of elimination. Credentials. Anything I could write, I wouldn't." I remember when he met my need. Months behind at the store everywhere. Had no money to pay. Had to keep charging milk for the kids. Every time I'd go in, he'd say, "You're not working at the mill?" I said, "No, sir, I got a new job." There was one guy that came around and prayed for people and they fell down. That was a big deal. So I helped him. I'd catch people for him. One time a big lady fell on me. I tripped. I started to take a step back, but her weight hit me. So I fell backwards and she fell on me and I couldn't get out. She's about 400 or 500 pounds maybe. My little arms were sticking out. I lived. He needed help in Salem, Oregon. I had to ride with a friend for gasoline. But I was going to go catch for him. There was a guy there. He handed me a note. I thought, oh, no. I didn't know ethics. To hand me a note, you're supposed to read it, aren't you? Opened it up, and there was a check. And I went, oh. And I seen other people put them up. $7.32. Then, when you go in the bathroom, I didn't learn this from other preachers, but you can pull it out and look at it real close. I'll give you a Pentecostal handshake. Don't look at it. But then later, you go in the bathroom. I opened it up. This was 38 years ago. $732. Made a mistake. I showed it to Rosalie when I got back. And again, guilt, no sleep. I was walking over a tributary from the Willamette River. You should see the big trout that go down that thing. Up it. Little tributary. Little bitty bridge to downtown. I got to the top of the bridge and I couldn't take it anymore. My hands, they turned into helium. They just went up. I said, God, since that experience, you know I'd kill to do this. Tell people about Jesus the rest of my preach, I'd killed. And now I'm gathering that you're going to pay me for it. You know how much I knew? I went down to the bank and put it in and said, can I write on this a check or something? Yeah. I went around and paid everybody. Store. Had 100 left way over. I gave that away. Had 100 after that left. I've never been back. I started believing for a new car, you know. Why not? Can't confess lack, you know. Then the owner of Knight Trucking Company, that whole owner of it, come all the way out to where I was because he heard that about a miracle that had happened. Brought his mom, who had shingles and was so much pain she couldn't stand it. I didn't know who he was. He wore patches on his coat. I thought he was poor. It was that new style. God, elbows. He healed her. Then he comes over and he says, is there anything you need? No, sir, I don't have any needs. I don't have lack. My needs are met. He says, oh, is there anything that you need? No, no, sir, I have nothing. I need, well, felt like saying, go look at my car. 1958 Chevy, I bought my tires at the junkyard for $4 a piece. I'd just throw the old one away and put it on. They were all slick anyway. Smoked so bad I got stopped 6 times by the state police in 150 mile trip. It's because it smoked them off the road. And my car was parked out front, and that guy said, well, there's nothing. I said, no. And he walked out, and he didn't see my car. Good thing. But the next day, he called. He says, let me phrase it this way. Is there anything you're believing for? Somebody must have talked to him. I said, yeah. He said, what? I said, a car. what kind? I said, well, I'd like to have a Volkswagen van or something where the family could. Oak Ridge is 30 miles from Eugene, Oregon. He said, meet me at the dealer. I didn't know what to expect. I was afraid. I never had nothing. I walked in. I liked the one on the showroom floor. I really did. The right color. It was automatic. I said, I want that one. Boy, he just barked a few orders. They were moving stuff, moved that thing out, got it ready to go. Then he walks over to the accounting department to settle it up. I'm thinking, oh, I just gonna put a down on it or something. Wow. He didn't. Paid it off. Give me the title, the papers, he gave everything, said, this is yours. I wanted to stop every 10 or 15 miles and get out and hug the front. I sniffed the dash up with the straw. I cried. I couldn't even hardly try. Nobody ever gave me. But he did. Healing is just as much yours. Anything he's done. Every time you think about asking him for something, just remember. He reached way down 4,000 years. He did everything he needed to do. Because he didn't love them. If he would have let them go, Adam and Eve would have went to hell. And every other person who does or does not go there meant as much to him as they did. You know why the cherubims were placed at the tree of life? Several of them with flaming swords, and they turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He said, lest they eat on it and remain, and it drifts off and don't get the answer. The first thing the devil was going to do after they fell was take Adam and Eve to that tree. And the reason it trailed off to nothing and says, lest they eat of and live forever. And if it got to finish, it said, like they are. In other words, it would cut them off right there, no redemption. It had to do with that kind of decision based on that. So these cherubims, they stood there, right, guard. No matter how hard Satan would have tried to bring Adam and Eve to the tree, they stopped it. That's who they were. How far you want to go? The flood after? Just remember this. Something has changed. You're not in ministry like me, 38 years and seen everything. You get hard, not soft. So we're not going to dismiss this. We're just going to continue Wednesday. How's that sound?